What is up, all of you people out there? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton, American style. I'm Jerry, coming to you from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, deep within an underground bunker where I keep myself, covered and safe from the rest of the world. And joining me today, which is one of the only bits of human contact I get during the week, is a man who shouldn't need an introduction by this point. He's wormed his way into your heart with his boyish smile. And now accompanying that is a rugged beard. We've got Jacob holding everybody. Jake, nice to have you back again, man.
It's good to be back. And the beard is very long and scruffy.
It's awesome. It's good. I would roll with it. It's pretty great. Not everybody can look that awesome with a beard. I'm just saying. All right. So yeah. So Jake is Cincy Toffee. So that's his home supporters group. I want to make sure I mention that. But also Jake is a writer with Toffee Targets. He's in Ohio. So Jake, how have you been? Let's just talk. Let's just rap for a minute. How have you been?
I've been good. We just got our first like actual snowfall of the winter yesterday, and nice. That was fun because they didn't treat the roads at all. So I had to drive home from training last night in the snow, which is always great. I had to take the long way home, the long flat way home. It took me a while, but we're fine. Everything's fine.
Were you able to make it into work today too?
Yes, I was. I told myself, I'm like, the roads are bad when I wake up in the morning, I'm not going to work, but I'm like, I'm going to go to work.
Yeah, we had crap snow here in our part of North Carolina, man. I woke up and it was like somebody just shaved some ice on everything. You know what I mean? It was just like the shade. It was crap, like not intimidating at all, not covering anything. It was like a dusting, and it was like it changed nothing about the world. It was just may as well not even happen. So it sounds like at least yours, it's worth a story, which is nice. It affected things, which is cool. So have you been doing anything? Have you watched anything cool, read anything cool? What have you been up to? Have you been able to go anywhere, do anything cool, which is really tough with COVID right now? Like what's some cool parts of Jake's life right now?
I feel like I've been watching something and I'm trying to remember what I was watching. I recently just went back and watched Chernobyl again, which is always excellent. It's on HBO. It's a 5-part miniseries, and it's just, it's gripping, man, from start to finish.
I've never watched it. I am actually, from everybody talks about how great it is, and I'm actually a little afraid of the feels. I feel like
it'll make you cringe at times. It'll make you feel some things, but like it's really good. It's really well made. It's really well shot. So that's something. And then I want to start WandaVision, but I haven't gotten started on it yet. So
I'm trying to figure out what I make of that. I gotta be honest. I saw like a trailer for it and I just don't know. Like I like a lot of Marvel stuff, And so I saw that and I was like, well, it looks like a risk. I like risks when people take a risk with shows like that. I'm down with it. I don't know how it's going to be super entertaining to me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of being surprised. You know what I mean?
Right.
So Chernobyl and WandaVision. Okay. Because I can't get my wife to watch that with me, by the way. WandaVision. There's no way.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't watch it's only the kids I get to watch the comic book stuff with me. Like the wife's just kind of like, meh.
Kids are into it, man. They're all over it.
Yes.
All over it.
Like I feel like we've seen Thor Ragnarok like 8 times, but I feel like that's not enough still. Because it's that good.
It's good. It is very good.
So, okay. So I'm going to have to check out Chernobyl with the wife. I think she will watch that. So you've reminded me. Ah, it's gonna hurt. So I gave you a little heads up about this question beforehand. Last week with Cameron, we did a segment for the intro called Toffee Taboos, where we learned, what we learned about Everton after the fact. So being an American and being immersed in this Everton culture, it's tough because we have to figure out a lot of stuff on our own as we go. All right. So we talked about a lot of the taboo stuff that you really don't know going in. So I'm going to turn this one. I'm going to twist it just a little bit for Jacob Holton here. I'm going to pretend like, hey, I'm a young, new American Evertonian. Pretend the gray hair doesn't exist. Right. Pretend I am the vision of youth, young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed Everton supporter from, I don't know, Cincinnati. And they emerge like apparently all the American Evertonians do from Cincinnati, apparently. And you see them out at a Cincy Toffees event, and you have a chance to give them advice. What's the advice you would give to a young, new Everton supporter from America? Doesn't really know what they're getting themselves into.
So first off, I would tell them to learn the history, because there is a deep-rooted history with Everton that is very important to what the club is about and what the club stands for. So I think to really understand what the club is striving for now and in future endeavors, I think it's important to understand where the club has come from and what the club has been about for its entire existence. Okay. So that would be the first thing. The second thing would just be dive in head first and go for it. Because when you do that, you will fall in love with the club. Like, this club will take you and it will grab a hold of you and you will not be able to shake it. Like, it will become a big part of your life. And I think that's something that's happened to me, and I think it's been a pleasure and an honor to have that kind of thing happen to me. So that would be the other thing. So learn your history, dive in, and then the third one, really important, be patient, because this club will put you through a lot, okay? Like, it's not going to be easy. It will be easy sometimes, but most of the time it will be very hard even when you're winning. So just be patient, stay positive, everything's going to be fine. But, like, you know, so that's it. I got three things. Learn your history, you know, dive head in, and be patient.
See, I was thinking about this too. I normally save the advice for the guests because, you know, I blab every episode, so people have enough of me. I did think of one that I feel like was rather important, though. I wanted to mention, because it was important to me. Which was really difficult because I've got social anxiety, but it's easy to feel like isolated as an Everton supporter if you don't reach out. If you don't reach out and find your people, you know. So find a way. That'd be my advice. Find a way to reach out. Find a way to reach out. It's either to your local supporters group. It could be on Twitter. It could be, you know, through Facebook, through Reddit. There's a lot of different ways to Instagram, a lot of different ways to reach out. And actually, like, had I not reached out on Twitter, I wouldn't be doing these shows. Like, I took a chance and did something very not characteristic of me and answered 3 years ago, I answered a tweet that said, hey, we're looking for help with our possible podcast or video work or something. And I responded because I had a video production company, and it grew from there. And I'm doing this stuff now, you know, with, you know, for fun, hanging out with people like Jacob, and I've hung out with, you know, people from England and all, you know, California and Maryland, and just they're in Florida and they're all over the place. And it's really cool. All right. And it's that community, which is a big part of it. Community is a big part of Everton. I feel like it's not just glory and focusing on the fact that, you know, your team, you know, always, you know, it's not that, you know, there's a bond thing happening. And I feel like it's really important. So I didn't mean to sit there and like go off there, but I just, you kind of got me thinking, man. I wasn't going to say anything and you got me thinking, because I guess when you sit there and hang out with somebody else who's caring about it, you know, just like you are, it's easy to kind of get your brain cooking too, you know? So Right. Anyway, thank you for that, Jacob. Those were really thoughtful answers to be off the cuff. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, and good. Then to add to your one point, if you don't have a supporters group in your town or in your city, start one, because that means there's probably other people in your town, in your city, who are Everton fans who feel like you. And even if you can't get a massive supporter group, at least you can get a couple people who are Everton supporters who you can like talk to. So
yeah,
if you don't have one, start one.
Yeah. My oldest just started playing for a team and a different team, you know, an additional team. And who knew there's like a whole community of like Everton supporting parents in that, on that team. And it's nuts. And it's really awesome. You know, one from Colombia, one's from Ireland. It's just like really, really awesome. And some of the British coaches are Everton supporters. It's just like, oh, it's a cool thing, man. And it's stuff, you know, and again, if you don't let people know, they don't know. And you end up kind of just, you know, but it's just cool to share. That's all I'm saying. So it's a really cool experience. So anyway, that was a little Everton advice corner. I like it. That's a new thing. All right. Good answers, Jacob. Holy crap. So poised. All right. So before we get into a Leicester review or a Newcastle preview, let's go over some short news. Not really. We're not going to dig in with the claws and hold on tight till the news drags us halfway across the, you know, across the state. We are going to focus just for a little bit. So let's start FA Cup win. All right. I had to watch it later, was unable to watch it live, but the performance against Sheffield Wednesday, pretty solid. So just a couple of thoughts on that, Jacob. How did that hit you?
Obviously, James Rodriguez bossed it. I mean, he was all over the pitch. He was, you know, should have had a hat trick of assists. Richarlison played well, got himself back amongst the goals. Dominic Calvert-Lewin got himself back amongst the goals. I mean, it was really just a comfortable performance the whole time, which was nice to see, you know, after playing Rotherham and having to go, you know, into extra time to beat them, you know. That's two back-to-back championship sides, struggled against one, came out the next time against the other one and just smashed them for 90 minutes, which, is excellent to see. So that was a good performance. I was into it. And obviously, James Rodriguez was boss, as always.
Yes, yes. It's really great. I was just rewatching the extended, you know, highlights a little while ago, and my kids were watching over my shoulder, and just some, you know, just fun, just a really fun
game. It was nice because like you could relax, like the whole match, I was relaxed. I was never worried. I was never like in fear that this might turn at any second. It was relaxed, man. I was relaxed for the first time pretty much all season.
My bum remained unsqueaky.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. I apologize for everyone for that. So, feel good. Nice 3-0 win. And there was much rejoicing. So, next, transfer window closing on Monday. We've had a couple of outgoings. Yep. You know, loan. You know, Branthwaite went out, and another loan. Yannick Bolasie heading to Middlesbrough. And there's probably going to be some more outgoings. What are you expecting, Jacob? What do you think as far as outgoings are concerned? And then I hesitate to do too much speculation on the incomings, but what are you thinking?
I think we're going to see at the very death, I think we're going to get a loan for Anthony Gordon. That's kind of picked up a little bit. And apparently some championship sides are eyeballing Anthony Gordon. I heard the name Preston North End mentioned. I'd be okay with that. I think that's a decent loan for him. I think he walks into that squad. I don't know if they'll be able to get Cenk Tosun a deal in time. My gut tells me that Tosun will have to wait until the summertime, along with Bernard. So really, I think the only outgoing we're going to have left is Anthony Gordon's going to get himself a loan. Bernard's going to stick around. He'll be the backup to Richarlison the rest of the season. And then I think he'll be off to Qatar or wherever, such as Saudi Arabia or whichever Middle Eastern country it was that he was linked to. I think it was Saudi Arabia, actually. As far as incomings, I'm holding fast. I don't see them bringing in anyone. You know, I think they need to bring in a real backup striker because Carlo clearly does not trust Cenk Tosun to be that guy. But we're getting down. I mean, like, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got 3 days left in the window, and then Monday till I think it's like midnight in, you know, the UK to get a deal done, or like 11:30 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got three and three-fourths days left to get a deal done. And that's not a lot of time to make things fall into place. And it doesn't seem like we're very far along with anybody. You know, it was looking like maybe Zikiri was going to
It's Z-I-R-K-Z-E-E. And I think it may be Zirkse, but I'm not completely sure.
You know, we were back and forth with him, but it looks like he's headed to Parma. So
the second time this has happened with that kid, by the way.
Yeah.
Where we're thinking, oh man, this guy looks good. He's interested. And then I think he's number one. I think he's probably going to get more time.
He will. Yeah, for sure. No doubt.
But the fact that when, you know, Fabrizio Romano, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when he says a team's interested, that means we had interest.
Yeah.
That means we're trying to bring him in, right? He's not one to you know, BS around. He will tell you straight up. That means we had an interest. That means we were trying to bring somebody in at striker. So I'm curious, man. I don't know. That made me think, okay, maybe we have something else cooking right now. I don't know. Tosun looks like there's two chances right now for CSKA Moscow or Besiktas, possibly going back there. That's what it seems like. It seems like he's already had meetings with them. It's just a matter of the club agreeing what they need to agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. Another one who I just don't know, Jonjo Kenny. Jonjo Kenny could go to Burnley potentially.
Yeah, I forgot about Jonjo. I did hear that link. I don't know. I mean, that has to be a permanent deal. If you're me, like if you're talking to me, I'm like, pulled the cord out there.
Well, that's what happens with guys like us. Okay, Jacob, we're emphatic. We do this. You know.
Yeah, I move with my hands a lot. So that's the thing with Jonjo Kenny is he still has value to the squad, even if he's not playing a lot, even if he's not being used as a sub a lot. He's basically like a couple injuries away from being the guy. So. He still holds value with Everton. So loaning him doesn't really do them any good. So really, if you're going to give him to Burnley, you better be getting a transfer fee for him, not just a loan.
And he's a little bit surplus now that Holgate has stepped in and has done well.
Yeah.
And he's Godfrey, way more surplus than he used to be.
Godfrey can step in on the right side, not as well as he can on the left side, but he can step in on the right side too. So
yeah.
It has to be a transfer fee for me.
Mm-hmm. It just depends. The problem, the big issue we have there is a club going to pay? Now, Burnley has money now. Burnley has investors. They're rich now. Who knew? Burnley's going to have some daggone money to spend moving forward.
Thank God for Sean Dyche.
That guy. I love him. I love Sean Dyche.
He's so underrated, but anyway.
Yeah, he's I it's hard to right now. I don't think you'll have a lot of people disagreeing with you right now. You know what I mean? Anyway, but I think Burnley could probably afford it. But it's just if he doesn't have a whole lot of other options, if nobody else is willing, and we're like somebody's willing to pay his salary, it could save us money to be a loan, man. It's these kind of things. Like, I agree. I would rather it be permanent. But right now, and these kind of things, we want Bolasie to be a permanent. You know what I mean? And they're not going to do that at this point. I think Bolasie, I would think, just wants to play, right? And so we're just getting him off the books. Same thing with Tosun. But if Tosun goes, who's our backup? We got Richarlison.
Yeah,
you know, Richarlison's our backup, and then we go false nine.
The only cover, like that's the only cover we have at striker position. You know, if Cenk Tosun leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Is Ellis-Sims ain't here? He went to Blackpool.
Two goals.
Team of the week.
Yes. I'm so excited for him. That's awesome. And I have no idea about the realism of the Bernard move. I have no idea. Those kind of things come out of nowhere. You're not sure how much to believe them. There's a dollar amount attached. I have no idea whether to believe it. I'm clueless about that.
Basically, anything you get for Bernard is perfect. I'd take any offer.
His salary is a little high.
Right. Yeah. To a point, I'd take any offer.
I still like him. I like him as a change
of
pace.
Him. I do like him, but like he just doesn't have the right body type for this league. He's very good on the ball and he's got an eye for goal, but physicality wise, he can't win headers. He's gonna get bullied off the ball a lot, and it's just in the Premier League, that's a problem.
Not all diminutive players are built like Jake Holt.
That's right.
All right. Just saying. Jake Holden doesn't – not going this way, but he'll go this way in the shoulders. You know what I mean? So that's – you're not getting bumped off the ball anytime soon. You know what
I
mean?
No, probably not. No.
The thing about Bernard is Bernard usually tries to find a way to get away from people before they have a chance to bump him.
Yeah.
He's sort of – yeah. I like him because he's got a pretty good eye for a pass. He's clever. I like having him – but here's the problem – that I see, Jake. My biggest issue here is – hold on. Okay. So the big problem that I see here with – sorry. I just got distracted. I need to write this time down really quick. Okay. So the big problem that I see here is if Bernard just wants to leave. And that's what I think. I think he just wants to play more regular minutes. He's seeing himself as sort of a sometimes yes, sometimes no kind of guy, and it's not with regularity. And I think that's the rub with a lot of these players. They want to play, and we're like, yeah, it'd be great to keep them. Yeah, it'd be great to sell them. But number one, sometimes they want to leave if we want to keep them. And number two, sometimes no one's willing to buy them, and so loan's the only way. It's just... It's
a mess, yeah.
Players that don't play regularly are quandary, yeah. So, having said that, I'm going to be bold here, Jake. I'm going to say one incoming
on loan.
Yeah, I'm going to say one incoming on loan. That's it. I'm going to be bold. I have no evidence of this. And I have no names. But if Cenk Tosun is putting himself in the shop window the way it seems like he is, I feel like that may happen. I don't know. Anyway, okay. So we need to talk about Leicester. So let's move on. Leicester happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do a Leicester review. So I'm going to give everybody a second. If you've been saving to watch it, Don't want a spoiler. Here's your alert.
Spoiler alert.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs, everybody.
Turn it off.
1-1 draw.
And go watch.
1-1 draw. I'd like to call this a non-loss. Yeah, it's kind of a weird one to watch. Kind of a strange one against what is honestly a pretty potent Leicester squad. They're good. They're good.
Yeah, that's a good side.
Yeah. So why don't we start where we should start, which is the golden moment of the entire match, right? James. Yeah. James.
Oof.
We start there. Let's just start there. I want to just make sure I don't forget it, because holy crap. And my left-footed son is like, that was with his right. Oh my gosh.
that was hot. Like that was, it was very hot. it's just, how do you do that? I just don't understand. I told somebody, I was in a group chat, and I'm like, you could give me 10 million attempts at that, and I would never hit it that clean with my left foot, ever. Not once. Not once. You could not give me enough attempts. I just don't understand how it's physically possible to do that with your weaker foot. That doesn't make any sense to me. In no space at all. He tries to clip it into whoever was making that run into the box. It comes back out, touches it with his left, slides it with his right, bang, hits it with his right, and it's in the net. And Cash versus Michael doesn't even move. And I'm just like,
yeah,
that's insane. What you just did seems impossible, but you just did it.
Yeah, that I think what you mentioned, okay, the strike was nice. Curving in with his off foot. But the thing you mentioned about there being no space and the fact that he pulled the trigger that quickly, it was a touch shot, boom, boom. And Schmeichel did not expect it because of the space and the quickness. He did not expect that at all. Skims the inside of the right post. As someone posted on Twitter, it was like, isn't it always much more satisfying when the ball skims the inside of one of the posts and goes in? Just something about that.
When I first saw it go in, I thought it hit the side netting and rode all the way. I didn't know it hit the post until I saw the replay.
Yeah. It was receiving the ball, touching it across, doing that little half touch and the strike. It was an impressive shot, impressive goal.
The only thing that's disappointing about that now is I was like, well, that's for sure going to be the goal of the month. And then Pierre-Emil Højbjerg comes out here today playing against Liverpool and hits an absolute rocket shot. Have you seen this goal?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Go find it on Twitter after this is done, because it's unbelievable what he did. It's even better than what James did. And I'm like, I didn't even think I would see something better than what James did for like at least another month. And here we are a day later.
And that's, and you know what? They lost. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, he did it in a loss.
Uh-huh. Shit.
Dang. So on that little disappointment, wasn't expecting to say that talking about James' goal, but okay. For the most part, a really strong defensive performance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a lot of, clear shots on goal, and we'll get into their goal in a minute, but I just want to make sure I mentioned the work Keenan Mina, and I think you maybe throw Godfrey in there too. Those are the ones that really stuck out as just solidly closing things down.
Yeah. I mean, but that's been the MO for what, 6-7 matches now.
Yeah.
Carlo has gotten that back line into top form. You know, Michael Keane is having maybe one of the best seasons of a center back in the entire Premier League this season. Yuri Mina started out really rough this season and has turned his season around, where he's not putting a wrong foot forward. Ben Godfrey, my God, I mean, I'm telling you, that man could run through a brick wall.
I agree.
There's a joke about people being able to run through a brick wall. If you said that Ben Godfrey could run through a brick wall, I would believe you, because he's just quick and he's powerful and he doesn't get beat by anybody. It's great. It's fantastic to see. Mason Holgate was okay. He got torn apart by Harvey Barnes a couple times.
Harvey Barnes is
a
player,
monster.
Right?
Yeah, he's a monster. Jesus. And going into this game, a lot of people were like, I'm worried about James Madison. And I'm like, well, the player you probably should be worried about is Harvey Barnes.
To be fair to James Madison, though, he played pretty well, too.
he did, but he also dove a lot, like a lot of dives from James Madison, and a couple of them were really egregious, and I'm just like, of course he got it. Of course he got that call. Of course he did. He was terrible on free kicks, though, right? Which was shocking. His free kicks were abysmal yesterday in two really, really good spots. Mm-hmm. So, defensively, excellent. The beat goes on, right?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I can't really – I'm trying to figure out what I'm feeling about the goal, okay? Their goal, we had about five dudes there trying to block that.
Yeah.
We were covering it.
Mm-hmm.
We were covering it. It makes me and so I'm trying to figure out, A, is this a closed down issue? Should we have pressed the shooter? Should we have pressed Tielemann more? Is that an issue? Or B, is it a Pickford thing and he should have gotten more of it? He did get a hand on it.
Yeah.
But he did, his vision was very much obscured. If I'm going to be fair to him, he didn't really see a lot of it. I still think maybe he could have done better, and I think maybe we could have pressed that shooter a little better. So I always hesitate to find one culprit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of blaming people in general, going, right, that's your fault, dude.
Right.
Unless it's super egregious. Right. But that's my thoughts on it. How are you feeling? I mean, is it one of those things where you were where was your disappointment pointing?
So I'm kind of with you in terms of this goal. So first things first, the thing that drives me nuts about Everton defenders, they're great in the box. Once they get outside the box and you get people shooting from distance, they never close them down, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. It drives me nuts. And, you know, Tielemann's, they were close, but they did not step out to him. And there's always enough cover, which drives me nuts, is when there's guys shooting from outside the box, our defenders are not stepping out to that shooter, which close him down, give him no space. Don't give him a little space, give him no space at all. Step out to him. Okay. It's, I don't know, for, and then for that ball to get through all of those defenders is a miracle. I don't know how it did it.
Yeah, I know. Had eyes. The ball had eyes.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And then in terms of Pickford's, you know, it looked like he didn't see it until it was about half, like almost to his 6-yard box.
Right.
And could he have done better? Yes, absolutely. You know, I think people are being just a little bit too harsh, calling him awful and, you know, this, that, and the next thing. And any kid, you know, my 10-year-old would have saved that shot. I'm like, your 10-year-old would have been standing there with his hand in his nose watching as the ball rolls into the net, right?
And I want to make sure everybody gets that visual, an entire hand shoved up a nostril.
That's right.
All the way up to the up to the wrist, right?
But he got a hand to it, and he almost pushed it away. It just, you know, it just bounced off the post and went in.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, and should he have done better? Yeah, probably. But like, are we really gonna crucify him for not seeing the ball until it's almost at him, and he gets a hand on it anyway, and it goes in? Like, it's got it. The blame goes to the defenders for not stepping out to Tielemans, and the blame goes to Pickford for maybe not getting as strong a hand on it as he maybe could have. So,
I would, to be totally honest with you, and I think you would agree. I think both of us, I'm just speaking for you, dude. I'm just, I'm just speaking for you. Like I've just talked to you about this before. I'm just assuming. Sorry, man. I just realized I was doing that. I just figured you would agree. I'm an idiot. So we want a consistent keeper that we can rely on.
Yeah.
We want to feel really, you know, warm and fuzzy, you know, like it's almost like, okay, this is a dumb analogy, but I'm going to say it. If you ever seen the movie Tommy Boy, there's a guy that Tommy's trying to sell brake pads to.
Yeah.
Who's talking about the guarantee on the box.
Yeah.
He's like, the guarantee on the box. It's like, it's calling to you. Hey, I'm good. I'm okay. You know, it's making you feel all warm and fuzzy. I want a keeper like that. I want a keeper like that who I know, you know, that's, and it's, I worry that my reaction saying he should be doing better than that on that play is oozing out from his inconsistencies in the past when he's really made bad mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't think he's making nearly as many poor errors. I think he's growing under Carlo. I think he's become a better player, and I do think he's getting more consistent. But if you were building a catalog of stuff that
it's full,
it's a pretty extensive montage you can put together to the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme. I'm just saying it's not. So do I flat out blame him? No. Do I think he still could be that warm, fuzzy guy that we used to think he was, by the way? Yes. I do think so. I think he could get to that point where he makes fewer mistakes, and we're not going to be saying he could be doing better on that ball as much. I do feel like the faith, if we keep it there, it'll be okay as long as he keeps growing up here. Because let's be honest, that was where he needed it.
Yeah,
it wasn't ability; it was entirely up here in mentality and consistency. And I do feel like the World Cup got to his head, and he needs somebody to push him in training. Olsen, I agree. I think Olsen has been a great signing. It wouldn't surprise me if that ends up being made permanent.
It seems like that's where we're headed. It seems like we're going to have talks with Roma over the summer to try to bring him in on a permanent deal, which would be bueno.
I like it.
Bueno.
You know,
a lot of people are calling for Robin Olsen to start against Newcastle. I'm trying to tell people that that's just flat out not going to happen. Because Carlo has stuck by Jordan Pickford very sternly. You know, him and his England manager, Gareth Southgate, have both been like, look, I understand that maybe people are frustrated with Jordan Pickford, but like he's kind of our guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And also that faith may be one of the reasons why he's becoming more consistent.
Yep.
And he's improving.
Yep.
And his mentality is stabilizing. So, it's a weird one, though, because we're playing Newcastle.
Yep.
That's a big game for him because he's had some
if you remember, the last time out against Newcastle, Robin Olsen started.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not right after the Liverpool match. I think it was like two matches removed, you know, but like he didn't play him. And now they're going to Newcastle, and I mean, there's not going to be fans in the stands, but you know,
still a lot of emotions,
right?
So you know, I'm wondering,
Sunderland guy,
it could be a big hey, I'm going with you because you're my guy. Use that in the right way. It could be a really big thing for him. He could have a great game, or it could end up being a like you know, one of those, we just don't want another like weird meltdown like he's had there before.
Yeah.
So we play them. It's just, yeah. Anyway. So I think we're being a little easier on Pickford than a lot, but we're also being pretty real. So, yeah.
You know, and I will say my frustration in that match, and it lies in those last two chances. I'm not going to count Gomes' chance because that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. It was, that ball was zinged in there, and for him to like be able to chest it down and shoot it in, that would have been some play. My frustration lies with the cross that Holgate provided to Richarlison that was right on his head, and he heads it over. And then on the other side, Luka Dean fires in a perfect cross to Dominic Calvert-Lewin that was even more of an easy header, and he misses wide left, and it's like going into the 90th minute. And I'm just like, you two guys are supposed to be our best players. Well, maybe James, actually, James Rodriguez is our best player, and I won't hear it any other way. But you two guys are supposed to be our top goal scorers, and both of you had excellent opportunities late on in that match to put it away, and you both missed, and that's really, it's unforgivable for both of those guys, you know, and I'm sure they're very angry about it and are going to want to, you know, do better against Newcastle, but that's where my frustration lies, is like those two guys have to finish those chances.
So, and I will say, you know, Andre Gomes, he looked pretty a-okay for most of the game, you know, not a bad match from him. Tom Davies did all right, but we did miss the energy and enthusiasm and legs of Decore. It's really rough when we don't have either him or Alan.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
When they're missing. But I don't think they played poorly, but I think we would have been a little bit better covered.
I think they would have won that match with Decore in there. Honestly, I think they really missed Alex Iwobi, which, crazy, right? I think they really missed Alex Iwobi in that match. And, you know, he came on late and wasn't able to really – I mean, he did actually provide some spark, and he did win a couple corners really early on when he came on. And I'm just like, you know, this is kind of what we needed in this match. We needed somebody who was able to, you know, run at the defense of Leicester and kind of put them on their heels a little bit, you know. And that was kind of missed, but, you know.
As soon as you said his name, I'm not going to sing it, but I had – you remember that video that was going out there for a while with – I like to move it.
Yeah.
Alex Iwobi.
Yeah.
As soon as you said his name, I don't know if you saw me going like this. I had that in my head, and I was like, not singing it, but it's there. Can't help it.
Yeah, so.
because if I did that. That's
frustrating, but I'll take the point. I will take the point as long as you go on and beat Newcastle on Saturday.
Who's your man of the match, by the way?
Man of the match goes to James Rodriguez, because not only did he score a banger of a goal, but he was constantly trying to play creative passes in. There was a pass that was called for offsides, I would believe, that we played in Richarlison that was bonkers. Emily, I mean, like, since he's come back, he's just been making that pass in every single match. He made one against Rotherham to play Ducore in for the winner. He played one he played a couple of them against Sheffield Wednesday. He played a bunch of excellent passes in the match against Leicester City and scored a banger of a goal. But, yeah. So if it wasn't going to be him, I probably would have picked Yerry Mina, I guess.
See, I was going to say Michael Keane. Yeah. Just because I wanted to be contrarian and say a center back. So, yeah, you said Yerry Mina, and I'm like, at this point now, Keane and Mina, it's like interchangeable. It's like, you know, you can say either one pretty much on most of these performances.
Yeah.
Because I don't really fault either one of them for the goal, and I thought both of them did really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I just want to say it because it needs to be said. Richarlison didn't have his best game.
He was awful. He was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, giving the ball away, not winning anything, not beating anyone. He just looked way off from what we normally see. It was really weird.
Yeah, and he posted on social media, little angry face.
Yeah.
So he's not happy, which I kind of like when people own when they screw up. I like that, you know, when they own it. Say, hey, I messed up. My bad. I'll do better. Just saying.
Yeah.
And because and the hope is they mean it. And it's not, you know, just they're paying lip service because I got to say something. very cool. Any final thoughts on this, or are you ready to move on?
No, let's move it on.
Not a bad point. It's not a bad point against a strong team.
No, not at all.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Just, you know, a lot of people were disappointed. Three. Like, very easily could have been three. Just.
Yeah.
A little frustrating.
Yeah. But before the game, if you said, hey, you're going to draw Leicester,
you will take it.
Yeah.
Nobody's, I mean, like, nobody should be mad about a point, but, like, I understand the frustration, but, like, you're winning points against a team that's above you in the table, and that's always a good thing.
I need, like, a snapshot of you with that awesome beard, like, pointing at people going, you'll take it. That's it. That is just classic. All right, let's move on, dude. All right. Newcastle preview. So I wanted to mention something before I start this Newcastle preview. You'll notice that we will be playing Leeds after Newcastle. Yep. We're not doing a Leeds preview just because that's two previews in a row. And I would like to see my family tonight. So that's the reason we just wanted to keep the show a little more trim. That's it. All right. So apologies on that. We wanted to acknowledge that it was a thing. So hopefully I guarantee you there'll be other Toffee Blues previews on the lead scene. So just come back to our channel and check that. Newcastle. Their current form is 16th in the table. They have 19 points. They're 5-4-11, but I should mention they haven't won since December 12th.
They are in terrible form.
I always give the previous three scores from the previous three matches. 2-1 loss to Leeds, 2-0 loss to Villa, 3-0 loss to Arsenal. It's not been great for Newcastle. And I got to be honest, the more they play like this, it just makes that when they beat us that one time look pretty shit.
I will say that was when Everton were at their lowest point in terms of injury suspension.
It was bad. And we were trying to figure things out.
It was like last year's squad playing against Newcastle.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it was some experimentation going on.
Even then, that's not an excuse for how poorly Everton played that game. That was one of the worst games I've seen Everton play. This feels like a revenge match, and this feels like a statement match for Everton. I think Carlo Ancelotti's going to have these guys fired up, ready to go. Because I think Carlo especially understands the importance of having two and sometimes three games in hand on some of the teams above them in the table. I think that's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. And Carlo understands that. And this match against Newcastle is super winnable. That is a team that is not scoring goals right now. They are not keeping goals out right now. They're not doing anything well at all. So this is a big opportunity for Everton to pick up some easy points. Like, this is easy points. Doucouré will be back, which, excellent. Alan will not be back. They're not looking at him to be back until United, which would be after Leeds.
I'm excited he's back that soon, though.
Yeah, that's huge. So James Rodriguez, Iwobi, you know, those guys will all be available. Richarlison will hopefully bounce back and really kick into gear. Like, if he could score two goals, that'd be excellent. I would almost consider playing a 4-4-2 if I was Carlo Ancelotti, just to try to, you know, supplement Richarlison just a little bit more and maybe perhaps help Dominic Calvert-Lewin out. And, you know, you could stray a little bit from your starting lineup and maybe even rest James Rodriguez, start him on the bench, start Alex Iwobi out on the right-hand side along with Seamus Coleman at the right back and just play like a normal flat 4-4-2.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure how we're going to roll into it, man. It's such a – like, it's really strange what we do with James when he's on the field. You know, like our – you know, when we're playing against Leicester, he came back very deep.
Yeah.
At times. And additionally, he was out front pressing at times. So there were times when the commentators were like, oh, are they running a 4-3-3? Or is this a 4-4-2? And they kept talking.
Nobody could figure out what the formation was. I couldn't tell what it was for most of the match.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what this is. It's just a blob of players, and they're just all moving around all over the place.
Blob of players. That's our formation, the blob. The amorphous. Yes, I'm with you. So let's really quickly, we've already started talking about our starters, so let's Do you think it's going to be – you said you think it's going to be Pickford.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Do you think it'll be Coleman or Holgate it right back?
I think it'll be Dina, Mina, Holgate – or Mina, Keen, and Coleman. I do think Seamus Coleman's going to start. Because, you know, I honestly – Well, let's go with my 4-4-2 flat 4-4-2 formation, right? We're just going to have some fun with it.
I'm down.
Go Dina, Mina, or Keen, whichever one, flip-flop, whichever way you want to start them in the center back role. Coleman, and then you go Richarl- or well, I guess you would have to find somebody to play left wing. So maybe Godfrey at left back, Dina, slide up, play left mid. Holgate and Ducouré in the middle with Iwobi out on the right wing and Richarlison, Dominic Calvert-Lewin up in the front. And that way you can kind of give James Rodriguez a little bit of rest. It's Newcastle, and if you have to bring him on at halftime, you can absolutely bring him on at halftime.
Okay. Well.
That's not how we're going to line up, but that's how I would like us to line up.
I'm along for the ride. I think it's – Here's what I wrote down, kind of what I think we're going to do. This is never right, by the way. The hope is the hope is that people that are watching are thinking, hey, that's an idea. Hey, I like that. You know, so I'm going a little simpler. I like the fact that you're doing some squad rotation. I just want to say I'm not really doing any squad rotation here, like at all. Okay. I wrote down Pickford slash Olsen because I was a coward, but I think it. I do think it'll be Pickford. I agree with you. And I've got Holgate, Keane, Mina, and Godfrey, just that back four, because I kind of feel like Carlo is very happy with that back four. I don't really know that we got scored on because of the back four. So I kind of – but again, I think a lot of it's going to depend on – I mean, we're playing Newcastle, but – You know, underestimate a Premier League team at your peril, by the way. I realized that as we were talking about how poor their form is. They can still knock you off. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna say the same flat, the same back four. And then I've got Ducouré and Gomez. Gomes.
Ducouré and Gomes. I'm just saying that. So weird.
I believe the Portuguese pronunciation is with a sh at the end. I think that's the right way to say it.
So but they it's were like, saying it correctly.
But I think there was some gormsh at one point. So that's weird. That's just a bag so of weird. Wrong. That's not right. And I've got I feel like Richarlison on the right, Luka Dean on the left, James and DCL. If we're going to – like, because that's the weird thing. There were times it felt like a 4-4-2 with James as being one of the two up front.
Yeah.
But then he would drop back so deep, making me feel like it was like a 4-2-3-1. But Luka Dean and Richarlison were often even with Davies and Gomes.
It was weird. So weird.
So it was strange. But honestly, I could see Richarlison not starting this one. I could see it will be coming in, starting for him on that right side. Or if we want to put James on the bench like you're talking about, what would be so – oh, yeah, but then there would be no Luka Dean. Never mind. This ruined all my plans. I was going to be like, hey, we could put Iwobi on one side, Richarlison on the other, James in the middle, but then no Luka Dean. Okay, so, but that is a possibility too, by the way. It will be on one side and Richarlison on the other. It's pretty freaking potent.
Yeah.
But anyway, that means no Luka Dean if that's the case.
Or actually, it would probably mean Ben Godfrey would be on the bench. Because, I mean, you're not gonna go without Luka Dean.
Are you going to take Godfrey out right now, though? You know what I mean?
You know, if you're going to make me choose between Luka Dean and Ben Godfrey, I'm going to choose Luka Dean. Like, because offensively, he provides more. Right.
He does offensively.
So that's like, true. You know,
what if we don't have to choose ever?
I mean, that is true. We really don't. I mean, like, Carlo, he's smart, you know? Like, he changes it. He does weird things, like in the Wolves match where we didn't have a single striker and still won the damn match. Like, he does weird stuff. So you can't just come out here and say he's going to do the same thing next week against – or this weekend against Newcastle that he did against Leicester. Like, me saying that they're going to start a 4-4-2 with Mason Holgate in the midfield, you can't be like, wow, you're an idiot. What are you doing? Like, oh, because you don't know.
Because he's played it before. Holgate's played that position before, and he did well. You know what I mean?
And, and Carlo said in this press conference leading up to Leicester, like, yeah, well, Holgate is, you know, he is an option in the midfield. I'm like, well.
I mean, and one would think that Godfrey would be as well, by the way. Yeah. Just banging heads in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hell, Godfrey. Man. Like, Tom Davis played it right back this year. Like, come on. Like, what are we doing?
It won't be.
Wobi played right wing back. Like, come on. What are we doing? We can't throw anything out the window. Everything is in play.
Oh, I like it. I like it. The excitement, the unknown. So that's those are possible starters. Just a bit about Newcastle. Their leading goal scorer is also their leading assist guy.
Callum Wilson
has 8 goals and 4 assists this season.
He's your best player.
I got to be honest, Miguel Almirón was one of my favorite, like, MLS players to watch. And when he came over, I was really worried about him making the transition because I was like, I'm worried he's too slight of frame. But he's done fairly well. He's done all right. It's just – I don't look at that possible starting lineup and say there's a ton of danger men. You know, immediately I look at the stats and I'm like, Callum Wilson, you know what I mean? Not many other people have more than one goal.
Callum Wilson has been kind of a thorn in Everton's side in the past. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do remember him being just kind of a nuisance when he was playing at Bournemouth.
Don't mention Bournemouth. Stanislas.
The other Junior Stanislas. By the way, I'm a huge Junior Stanislas guy. That guy should not be playing in the championship. He is Premier League quality. He's a good player.
If you were watching this show to hear our take on Junior Stanislas.
You just heard it.
Here's your nugget.
There it is.
That was what you were waiting for.
So Ryan Fraser, he's not playing. He's hurt, which was another Bournemouth guy who's always a thorn in Everton's side. Good. No Ryan Fraser, excellent. Callum Wilson is basically the only guy you have to stop. And if that's the only guy you have to stop, I do believe that Michael Keane and Yuri Mina can do that job. That should be just fine. Midfield-wise, you're talking about Everton's got the advantage there. I mean, Jonjo Shelvey maybe, right? Like, Jeff Hendricks. I don't know. Like, one of the Longstaff brothers.
Yeah, I think I wrote down across their midfield, like Almirón, Hayden, Shelvey. Yeah, I've got Fraser in here. For some reason, the research I was doing didn't tab him as injured for some reason.
Oh, I thought he was hurt.
I mean, I don't know, but it said that it listed him as being a possible starter. So, I mean, you never know what they'll bring. But if they end up kind of playing a lot of deep lying stuff, it would be ideal for this one for real.
I think you'll see Everton play a lot higher line than they did against Leicester. They'll have Doucouré back, so they'll be able to, you know, be a little bit more flexible in the midfield. Andre Gomes is being a lot more offensive lately. He looks to be kind of getting back into form, which is great. So Doucouré and Gomes could really control the midfield, and just Everton's got the quality to boss this game. They really do.
So what's the prediction?
I'm going to go big. I'm going to go like 4-1 to Everton. I think they're really going to – I really think they're going to put their foot on the gas in this one and really come out and pound Newcastle.
I feel like this is – no. I don't think that way anymore. I'm not doing that thing – where I'm like, oh, we both predicted, we cursed them, blah, blah, blah. No. But I did write down 3-0 Blues. Yeah.
If this is an easy win, and it should be. Like,
if it should be. It's rarely like that, though.
I don't care if they don't win easily. Like, a lot of people get all mad and upset when they win, like, 1-0, and it's ugly, and Newcastle gets, like, a bunch of possession and a million shots on target and don't score. I don't care. Like, I don't care. If Everton win, that's all I care about.
I am absolutely fine winning ugly, getting 3 points, because you know what? The best teams over the years win ugly matches. It doesn't matter who they're playing against. They get the 3 points however they need to do it, and I'm totally fine. I'm fine if it goes off of someone's ass and goes in.
Yes.
And we win, you know, 1-0 because it hits some, you know, even – no, it's an own goal off their ass. I'm fine with that. Who cares, you know? So, and the other team has 95% possession. Whatever. Just want the win. But I would also settle for 3-0.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So, all right. And like I mentioned before, after the Newcastle match, the next coming Wednesday, February 3rd, we've got Leeds coming up. I hesitate to do a straight-up preview for that because we don't know who's going to be healthy. We don't know how things are going to be going at that point. So it's not going to be a super accurate preview if we do that. That's a thing. So I think that's a show, man.
Woo!
I think that's it. I think it did. It's a little bit shorter. We didn't have to answer 12 viewer questions, which we're totally fine with doing. But we had so much to cover today, but yes. We just nailed it.
Yes.
You know? It's all right. I need to say thank you to you, Jacob Holton.
Thank you.
From Cincinnati, Ohio, of the Cincinnati Toffees, and also of Toffee Targets. All right, check out Toffee Targets, everybody. You'll be reading the words of wordsmith Jacob Holden. That's right, that guy. Just you'll imagine the beard as you read it. you'll take it. That's terrific. But, you know, as always, Jacob, it's always great to have you, man.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you coming on and just, you know, good thoughts, but also just good energy, bud. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Yeah. So, in other stuff, please, if you've been enjoying what's been going on, check out the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. Subscribe to us. Subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I don't know other social MySpace. I don't know. Do people still do that? I don't know. I don't think so, but sure. Say that, the Toffee Blues website, there's some really cool guys that contribute, and I can vouch for them. I've talked to them on these shows and, they have the knowledge. So check that out, over there as well. And lastly, I have to do this. I've got to get better at doing this. Randolph the Christmas Moose. Kids book I wrote. The idea came from the Toffee Blues podcast. It stemmed from a mistake, and hopefully the book wasn't fun. That's the way I sell it now. Yeah. So it's all about following who you want to be and not letting people take away from you. You know what I mean?
Wants to be a runner.
Yeah. Moose wants to be a runner, you know? So yeah. So check it out. It's available on Amazon, probably some other places too. And we're done. So, for all the Toffee Blues people, to all you people out there, Jake, thanks so much again, man.
No problem.
I was like, you have to say something. The podcasters can't hear your thumbs up. They can hear your beard, but not.
I will press my thumbs into the microphone. Podcasters, no problem. It was always a pleasure. It's great.
I didn't expect that poor microphone threat. And anyway, thanks so much, man. Everybody else out there, let's get the 3 points against Newcastle and just take care of business. All right. Much love, everybody. Hope you're staying safe. Take care. And bye.